Thank you for that, Elder Board and our LFC community here. I appreciate that more than you know. Don't want to talk to you long today. I realized this last night sitting on my deck, I've broken a record finally. I've been wanting to break a record for a long time. And I have a record as the guy who's preached the most in this church over the years. And I did the math last night, and this is approximately my 375th sermon to you. And I'm not sure I could tell you anything different than what I've already told you. And hopefully that's the beauty of sharing God's word consistently, is that you don't get to change the message. You just get to continue to encourage and allow us to walk together. There's a great philosopher who walked in my life, and her name was Margaret Fishback. Anybody ever hear of Margaret Fishback? You guys actually, it's a different Margaret Fishback, I'll guarantee you. unless you spent some time in Oregon. Lady never went more than 20 miles from home. But Margaret was the woman I worked with and for on the farm. And Margaret daily taught me this one deep philosophical thought. Nobody is indispensable, including you and the pastor of our church. She didn't like the pastor of our church at that time, and she wanted to make it clear that nobody was indispensable, and I know that. I appreciate the encouragement. I appreciate the support through all these years here. We've been on staff here for about 7.5 years. We've been involved in this church for about 13. And this is our community as it grows. It is our growing family and friends here. But I am able to walk away knowing full well that this church is in great hands. These men and the other cluster leaders and ministry leaders involved in our community, and just the fact that we care for one another is such a blessing. So I have no problem handing the baton to Dustin, to the elder board, to the cluster leaders, to all the different ministry leaders who are just so faithfully doing it anyway. It's not because I'm leaving that they are taking on this care. They're doing it well. So we are very blessed in this church to have great leadership. And I don't hesitate in the least. I still have a few things I got to wrap up tomorrow in the office before I take off to make sure everything I know to do has been done. And I appreciate Penny, Joanne, Dustin as a staff, the elders for all that they do. And you know what? I come in every morning and sit down at my desk and ask Penny what I'm supposed to do. So as long as she's still here, everything's good. Dustin, listen to her. Okay. Ask her what you're supposed to do and just follow. She thinks of things we don't. I do want to make it clear, I am leaving for 4 months, but we are coming back. Joanne is not necessarily leaving. She'll still be on staff here with the children's ministry September and December. She will be traveling with me and the two little girls in October and November. She won't be around those months, but she'll still be here. We are coming back. Without a doubt, we're coming back. CEIF, the organization we were getting our money for our building, actually wanted us to postpone until the spring because they were afraid that when a pastor goes on sabbatical, he usually doesn't come back. And that is true when you give a sabbatical, as we've talked about, retroactively when a pastor is burned out. But when you give it, Corey, you just came back from your sabbatical not long ago, you know what it's like. But when you give a sabbatical proactively, the longevity of a pastor staying in a place is much, much greater. So we are coming back. I'm not planning anything other than coming back and being excited for the ministry ahead. But I just want to share a couple thoughts with you of kind of what's going on in my head as I walk away. At the Triennial Conference back in early July, when I was down in Sacramento for our NAB, North American Baptist Triennial Conference, I spent a day in prayer and preparation for some things. The first day I was there, I had to fly in early, and nothing was happening, so I had a day in the hotel. And I spent some time in prayer and planning, and as I did, I really felt the heaviness that there's no good time to take a sabbatical. There's too many things that need to be done. There's too many things unfinished. There's too many things that just I wish I would have done a little better. There's things I wish I would have put in place that I always said I would, and I didn't. And the first night, our speaker got up, and I can't even tell you his name. He's a guy, a pastor out of a church in Minneapolis. And he got up and he said, the first thing he said is, "Pastor, for you to get a rest means that sometimes some things have to stop and some things have to slow down, and that's okay." And those were words from God's mouth to my ears to say, and I don't expect things to slow down. I mean, we got the building happening. We got great leadership. Things are going to continue to blossom. But it's okay for me to let some of those things just stop for a season, to survive and to do the things I want to do better. I need to take that rest. The scripture he used was quite interesting to back that up. And he gave the scripture in early part of the book of Joshua, when the Israelites finally cross the Jordan River and go into the promised land. And they're excited, and all the kings of the land are quaking because of this great army of people who walked across dry land because God dried up the Jordan River, and they walked across and they set up their monuments. And they see Jericho ready to be conquered by the God that they were following. And they were ready to go. These kings are quaking. It's time to strike. And God says, well, let's stop and let's do something first. Let's circumcise all the men. Now, if something doesn't slow down your army, I don't know if they're going to have a reaction on that. If nothing's going to slow down your army, circumcision of your whole army will. You know. And for 40 years, they wandered in the desert. And that generation that had been circumcised under the covenant with God died off. And now the guys coming up who were the arms-bearing, aged guys who were going to fight the battles had not entered into the covenant with God of circumcision. And God says, before you go into battle, even though I'm with you, I want you to re-consecrate yourselves to me. And I want you just to remember who your God is. And that the blessings you're about to get are not, first of all, just for yourselves. They're for you to be a blessing to other people, but even the blessings that will benefit you are for my glory, not yours, and by my might, not yours. So as these men are preparing to go into battle, and God is with them, and he will bring success and some failure as they don't listen to him, he stops them and says, let's reconsecrate our hearts towards me. And I see the sabbatical as a time for me to reconsecrate my heart towards God. I'm not burned out. It's not that I can wait to get out of here. I love this place, and it's going to be hard for me tomorrow afternoon. I was thinking last week, tomorrow afternoon, I get to walk out of here and I don't come back for 4 months. And that will be hard. But at the same time, over the last 32, 33 years, since God early on as a young adult called me to minister to other people, I realize, and I'm not bragging about this and I'm not proud of this fact, I have prioritized too often the care of other people over the care for myself and my own heart and my connection with God himself. And I'm taking this season to recalibrate my heart and recircumcise my heart to follow him, to hear from him. Scripture, a lot of scripture I could share with you, but one I want to share today. One thing we're going to do over this next 4 months is the other thing God shared with me during the triennial conference is that, you know what, you get to go and rest for 4 months and you're going to come back excited, ready to go to the next level, and these people are going to be just as tired. So I want all of us to enter into a season of Sabbath and rest. I want us to take that seriously, and Elder Board and Pastor Dustin and I have been talking about that, and each week in the services, Pastor Dustin will be sharing a passage of scripture about rest and Sabbath that I will be focusing on, that I want you focusing on here. And for this first week going into this, this is what I want our passage to be. And I don't have anything up on the screen, so Owen's just sitting back there kicking back. But it's Mark chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. And we know this passage pretty well, probably. But it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this is a passage I've been reflecting on for a number of months here as I've been preparing for this time of Sabbath rest. This idea of what does it mean to rest in Christ and to know that the burden he gives me is how does he say it, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And in general, our burden of life doesn't seem so light sometimes. I know it's true of many of you in your life every day. And yet, the phraseology here, the picture is that yoke that goes around two ox to pair them together to pull the weight of the plow or the wagon or whatever. And we've talked about this before. The idea of the yoke being easy means that it's right fitting, that the yoke maker would not just make a yoke out of a standard pattern and sell it to people. He would go and make it to the ox it was supposed to fit. It would be the right size for the ox. It would be the right cut around the neck. It would line up right where the muscles and the shoulders of the ox are. And the passage very clearly is saying that the burden I give you is a burden that is perfect for you to carry. I have created you uniquely to take on the task that I'm asking you to take on. And that's what God has called us to. And yet, there's seasons when I take on a burden that God didn't call me to because I see that it needs to be done or I think it needs to be done. And I do it because I think I need to do it, not because he's called me to do it. Now, I will never say shepherding this flock of people, this community, is not what God has called me to, because I feel very clearly that he is. But sometimes I carry the weight differently than he has asked me to. And my goal over this season is to recalibrate, to retool, to refit my yoke to our growing need. The things I could do to care for a church when I first started here, the size it was, some of my tools fit, some of my giftedness fit. And as we grow, I'm finding that sometimes the yoke doesn't fit quite right. It's a little cumbersome, it's a little wearing, and there's a blister here or there. And that's not to say that I'm doing anything wrong. It's just saying that I need to rethink, and we as a leadership and we as a church need to rethink and retool how we do things. I'm convinced that we've been doing that all along, and yet I think we're at that point where we just need to really say, okay, God, what is the next step for us? And I feel like God is going to prepare all of us, not just me, but all of us over this season. So when I come back in January, my hope is that I've heard from the Lord. And it's not just me, it's our elders together, and all of us, you know, as you're listening to God, let's share together what we're hearing. But I feel like we're going to go to the next level. And to do that, we all need a season of rest. We all need to make sure that we don't take for granted this idea of Sabbath rest, this idea of slowing down and restoring our souls, that we don't take for granted the need to fall before the Lord and just give it all to him and let him show us how to guide into the future. I've always said, I used to say it took 3 to 5 years to begin a ministry. I'm now at the point where I say, I think it takes 5 to 8 years to begin a ministry. And you know, we're just getting started. We're just getting a roll. I mean, this church has been around for 25 years almost. And that's wonderful, and yet God is continuously showing us what he wants us to do next. And this season will just be another season of that. So in this season, I want you to remember a couple things. One is our mission statement here, to walk intimately with God and to invite others to journey with us. Let's not lose sight of that. Let's all make sure we're refreshing our soul, walking intimately with God. But let's not forget what God has called us to in caring for one another and caring for others outside of our congregation, our community, outside of our norm of life. Let's make sure that we are not just seeing God as a blessing to us, but God blessing us so we might be a blessing to others. There were some haunting words about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. And these were the words, Phil Intima, the man who came from the North American Baptist Foundation to do our feasibility study for the building project. He wrote his results of his feasibility study and said, you know, it's a great study. People are behind this. He said in it, if we do not continue to grow the facility, the ministry of this church will be hindered, and we needed to proceed with that. That's why we have done that. But Phil, in his time with us that afternoon as elders, he said this. This is the written form, but he said it to us. But I'll read you the written form. He says, understand and protect the fact that the major driver of this church is its friendly, caring spirit. And that's exciting to hear, right? But then he said, as it grows larger, increased effort will be needed to maintain this level of caring. And those words haunted me. We had a great report, and then Brian Lagaris and I loaded up, went over to Colin Hiller's to watch the Super Bowl that day on the big screen. And the weight of those words were like a ton of bricks on my shoulders. Let's not forget what God is here. Let's not forget why God is maybe blessing us, is that we are trying to follow him and love people as he wants to love people. So as we go into this season, as we come back and really take a next step into the next level, I think for sure it is all around that issue of how do we care for one another and care for the people that God has planted us among. And I want us to not lose sight of that. So over this season, I want you to pour into each other. As you walk intimately with God, I want you to invite others to journey with you on the outside of the faith. And those who aren't walking with Christ yet, do that. But at the same time, care for one another. Love one another. Some of you have, you know, gotten involved in your clusters, and some of you haven't. We're going to strive to do a better job of pulling people together in our clusters just to learn each other's stories and to care for one another. And I invite you to be a part of that, because it is what God has asked us to do, I believe, to care in this season. So pour into one another. One passage of scripture I'll end with here is John 13, 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So all I hope and all I ask and all I'll be praying for is that in this season, you continue to love one another. Walk intimately with God, love one another, and invite other people into that journey with us. Get to know each other. Hear your stories. I have to say this as one last thing. The cluster leaders are going to be contacting you about getting together this fall, and they're going to offer an opportunity for some to give their testimony. And I say it carefully that way because we're not going to make everybody do it, although we'd like to, for everybody to share their testimony. But we're going to offer an opportunity for those who would like to share their stories, because it's one thing to know a person's name. It's another thing to know their children by name. It's another thing to know what neighborhood they live in. But until you hear somebody's testimony of how God has worked and is working in their life, you really don't know the heart of the person. And we're going to encourage that as we go through this season. I want you to know as we go, I will be praying for you every day. I am unplugging. You send me an email, it's going to get trashed. I'm not even going to see it. It's not going to be there when I get back. It's gone. So email away. This is your chance to say everything you've always wanted to say. And it will go to my trash file. When I get back, I'm taking my first Sunday off because Becca's getting married to this nice young man, Wesley, on the 2nd of January. So I won't be back in the pulpit on the 3rd. Dustin will fill one more week. I'll be back after that. But I'll be praying for you. And I'm excited for what God's going to speak to me, but I'm also excited for what God's going to speak to you. And I'm excited beyond belief to walk into the next season of life together and see where God takes us. I want to pray for us. The worship team is going to come and sing a song, lead us in a song. As we're singing this song, here's what we need you to do. Parents, if you have children in the nursery or children back in the toddler room or children back in the preschool class, we want you to just leave during the song. Sorry you don't get to sing it, but we want you to go get your kids. Because when this song is over, we're all just going to exit the building efficiently and effectively and keep the children out of the road. And we're going to go to this side of the building over here, so you can go out that way. You can actually go out this, don't go out this door, because we're going to set up the sound system there. Just go out the back door here. If you want to go out the coffee bar side and come around, we're just going to gather out and take about 15 minutes of prayer and a few words and a few thoughts. We're going to turn over some sod, and we're going to end with the singing of the doxology out there. Just blessing God for what he's called us to do in the extended building project that we're called to. So at this time, I'm going to pray. We're going to sing a song. As we're singing, please go get your kids. We want kids out there because this project is as much about our children as anything. So we want you to stick around. We'll still be done by noon and get you home to your roast lunch, okay? So let's pray together. And as we're singing, parents, go grab your kids. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you today, I just simply say thank you for this body of people that I get the joy of calling my family. And Lord, I ask that you would, as they have prayed for protection for me, I pray protection upon them over this next season of life. I thank you for the many shepherds in this community, and I thank you for the many who will care for these folks. But Father, I just lay them at your feet and ask that not only would you protect them, not only would you allow them to grow in you and in knowledge of you, but that, Father, you would allow them to understand the yoke that you have uniquely created for them, that they might pull the weight of the kingdom that you've put upon their shoulders, and that they would find it a joy to do so. Lord, as I need to recalibrate, I pray that they would recalibrate, as many of us do. And I would pray, Lord, that we would press into you, that we would know you more intimately, and that we would hear your voice more clearly. And that, Lord, when you speak, we would just know it's your voice, and we would respond accordingly. And we would serve you with all of our strength, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.